This case study is about Gina. She's 36 years old, has had some handicap difficulties, but was working, and for odd reasons, she was fired. This resulted in a great degree of anxiety. And that's what she came to me to talk about. So we started out with something that I suggested to her, which is carrying out a ceremony involving writing. And I chose that as a starting thing because she told me that one of the ways that she coped with her anxiety was to write. So I told her that she was going to have some homework to do, and that was to write out on paper and in any color that she chose all the things that have troubled her about anxiety, maybe how long she had anxiety, how it interfered with her life, and also ways that she had found that she could cope. Now, after she had written this out, perhaps a page or two, she would take the writing about anxiety and burn it, get rid of the ashes, perhaps crunch it up and bury it, put it out with the trash. This was something that she would choose. She could pick just what to do with all of the anxiety that she had poured into that writing. Well, the second thing we talked about was I decided that somehow she had managed to get married, have a really good marriage with a man who loved her and she loved, and do some useful work that she loved, despite the handicaps that had life had given her, and being able to cope with her anxieties. So I postulated to her that from time to time her way of coping might have been acting as an imposter in her life, that she was acting things out that weren't really genuine. And I told her about two sociologists at Oberlin College who wrote about the imposter syndrome and who indicated that they thought it would mostly happen with women, but in fact it happens with everybody. And I shared with her my imposter syndrome. I'm a retired professor of chemistry, yet early in my chemistry career, when I started at the Illinois Institute of Technology, I felt that all of my fellow colleagues in the department were really a hell of a lot smarter than me, knew a lot more chemistry than I did, and that I was somehow getting along as an imposter. But towards the end of my 9-year stay at IIT in Chicago, I had research grants. I had a postdoctoral research fellow working for me, and I'd been publishing papers, and I'd already co-authored one book. So I suggested to her that the way out of the imposter syndrome, the cure for it, if you will, was looking at your own achievements and noting that, I'm really not an imposter. And I knew from my achievements, getting the research grants and writing and publishing and getting really good feedback on my teaching, that I wasn't an imposter. So that's all I said about the imposter syndrome. And I decided that I really needed to do some more work with Gina to help her. And I decided to use the Gestalt Therapy two-chair approach. And we were doing all of this virtually via Zoom. And I suggested to her that what she could do is turn in her chair to one side and she would be herself there. And when she turned to the other side, not yet, there in the other chair, there she would be Big A for anxiety. So we started this. She turned in a direction where she was herself, and she spoke to anxiety. I suggested that she ask anxiety why he was taking over and giving her all this difficulty. Then I said, switch. She turned, and she responded as anxiety, saying that this was the way that he took care of her and helped her. Well, we went back and forth, helping her switch from being herself and contacting anxiety responding. And the last exchange was to anxiety. Well, now that we're contacting each other, please tell me how I can go on living okay and normally without you troubling me. And she turned back and spoke as anxiety. And anxiety told her, well, from here on, I'm not going to be troubling you. And you may get anxious occasionally from time to time, but I won't be driving you in that way. So we finished that part of the session. Then I thought we needed something more. So I asked Gina, how long have you had anxiety and been anxious? And she said, probably when I started kindergarten. And I said, well, when would that have been? How old would you have been then? And she said, probably about 6 years old. And I told her then that I was going to guide her through an adaptation of the neurolinguistic program, Fast Allergy Cure, which would be used for a lot of other things, allergy, not only allergies, but emotional difficulties. So she agreed, and I suggested to Gina that she close her eyes if she was comfortable, and yet maybe with the eyes partially open, imagine that there was a transparent wall in front of her. And on the other side of that transparent wall was young Gina, 5 years old, well before she experienced any anxiety in her life. And I said to Gina, now you're looking through that transparent barrier at your younger self, 5 years old. And young Gina is over there on the other side, and she's playing happily with some toys. She's enjoying herself. She's obviously okay and in good spirits. And then something interesting happens. Young Gina turns and looks through the transparent barrier at you now on your side of it. And young Gina decides that she's going to come across and talk to you. So she gets up from where she was playing, walks towards the transparent barrier, which just disappears. And young Gina comes up closer to you, and young Gina reaches out with her hands and holds both of your hands. And young Gina, who has no anxiety at all and is very comfortable and happy with her inner self and her life, through this contact with you now, Gina, your younger self transmits to you through this contact with you, holding your hands, and she is sending into your entire being, every part of your body, every cell, every tissue, every bone, every organ, every nerve in your brain, the ability that she, young Gina, has to be totally free of anxiety. And young Gina is now changing somehow within you all of your bodily actions and sensations and the nerves in your brain and your memories and the way that you react, so that from this time on you will be free of big A anxiety, because your younger self has given you this remarkable gift and present. And Gina, you may be feeling somehow within yourself that, wow, yes, a miracle has occurred, and I feel really changed, and I know that this gift that my younger self has given me is now lodged completely within me, my mind, my body, my very essence. Well, young Gina, having given you this gift, now gently squeezes your hands, and you squeeze her, and she moves away, and you look at each other and smile. And within your mind now, Gina, you thank your younger self for this remarkable gift. And take a moment or two now, Gina, to just kind of consolidate this. You know that with your mind is recorded all of this, And if sometime in the future you need to re-experience or relive this, just find a quiet place. Close your eyes, perhaps. Pay attention to your breathing. And imagine that young Gina is there with you, giving you this gift again. And just perhaps another breath or two now, and Gina, just blink your eyes, and I want to thank you for your trust, your confidence, your attention. Maybe take a deep breath or two, stretch a bit, and just come on back to this room here and now. Well, Gina, at that point, just looked really, really relaxed, and we looked at each other, and I said, Gina, is there anything more at this time? And she said no, and thanked me, and I thanked her, and I stopped the connection with her. I'll just make a few additional comments about what happened in this session, which lasted about 40 or 45 minutes, and that this is an example of what I did with Gina was actually use 4 different interventions or approaches. And so it is entirely possible not to be stuck in one of the XYZ things and just do that completely all the time. Feel free to use many different ways in one session of helping a client. Well, thank you for listening to this recording, and goodbye.